The Lord bless each one this morning, and we do give you all a very warm welcome in their service this remembered Sunday. And we thank the Lord for his mercy and grace this morning. And also I want to just say that there's one family who had to isolate one of the girls was at school and came home, was in contact with COVID, and because of the rules and regulations, they've had to isolate. So we want to just pray the Lord will bless them this morning. And also, Brother Ian's a lot better than he was. I had a really bad throat here. I was sparring partner. But he's a lot better. I was telling him last night, and appreciates everybody's prayers, and just want to pray for the whole family. And also, we haven't heard yet with our sister Lydia's due to have a little one. We're praying for them as well. And then pray for my James as well. He took really coughing again yesterday, and we're not sure what's happening with it all. But the doctor said the last time he might have an allergy that starts it. It's just an attack of the devil. I blame everything on the devil. He is my enemy, and I can guarantee I'm his. He's against me. And Big Paisley said, I'm against him to the tip of the toe, to the crown of the head. And that's the way we should feel about it. All over me is against him. Praise God. You know, I heard a wonderful testimony many years ago. He was a Spanish lad. His father was a pastor. And they just described this wee pastor that he was 100 and something. He wasn't big. They said he was 100 and something pound weight. Devil-hating pastor. But his son fell off a roof and broke his back and ended up in hospital, and his dad went, and they gave his dad all the information how he'd never walk again, he'd be in a wheelchair. And the pastor lit on the doctors, lit at everybody in there, and he said, I don't believe one word of it. And he said, better than that, he's coming home with me tonight. And they looked at him like he's a lunatic. And he started praying for him. And God healed that man on the spot. And he dressed and come home with his dad that night. And his back was broke, and they had all the x-rays to prove it. But God gave him a miracle. Because his dad was a 100 and whatever pound weight, devil-hating preacher. But the devil's a liar, isn't it? Praise God. Let us turn till Revelations chapter 7. So we want to pray for all those, Revelations chapter 7, and also anybody that hasn't had the chance to vote for deacons, the elders, the box is here. We're going to maybe try and count it tonight. The brothers, if they could stay behind the night and count the votes for the brothers this evening. And then we're looking forward to the brothers being elected into office, and we had to keep going forward. Praise God. Now this morning, I want to try and preach about the poppy. I've never heard nobody preach about the poppy myself. So, you say, what would you preach about the poppy? Well, we'll find out in a minute or two. But there's lots of things you can say about the poppy. But I hadn't planned to read this scripture, but I want to read this scripture this morning. I was listening to something this morning and reading it really blessed me. And I want to read this. Revelation 7, verse 1. And after these things I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascend from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Let us bow for a word of prayer. And if you have a need this morning, just lift your hand up before the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as we have heard this morning, we appreciate it. Lord, that you plundered hell. that they might populate heaven. Father, we reverently approach you, humbly, reverently, through the name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has been given a name far above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, you know the needs this morning. I think of my own little son. I pray you'll touch him. We, James, in the name of Jesus, for Brother Ian and Sister Jenny and Lydia and Kimberly and all the girls, Lord, every one of them, Father, that you'll bless them, that you'll touch them, that you'll minister to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, be with Lydia and Colin at this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I take the Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you that you do. Lord, I ask you for every hand that's raised in this room, that you will meet every need. And Lord, that you'll give us a little nugget from yourself this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. My opening scripture really was meant to be Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to minister unto the, but to be ministered unto, and to give his life a ransom for many. And we know the word ransom means paying the redemption price. This morning we are here to remember. It's called Remembrance Sunday. It's really the 11th. The 11th hour, the 11th day, and the 11th month, World War I mysteriously stopped. A prophet of God said, and he referred to the scripture I read from Revelations, he said, the angels of the Lord stopped it. No man stopped it. God stopped it. And he said that God stopped it because Israel was not yet a nation. And as their brother even prayed, the enemy wanted to do away with God's people. And it could have been the end of the whole world then. But God, rich in mercy, had more people to seal with the seal of God. And remember the words of Jesus himself, that I have lost none that the Father has given me. Every one that's going to be sealed and saved are going to come in. So God stopped it, for the time wasn't yet for the end to be. And the angels of the Lord stayed the war. They stopped it. And then we know that in 1948, Israel became a nation and she flew her flag again. And we know we're living in the Laodicean church age. We know that there's been a restoration of a Pentecostal movement of the gifts of the Spirit, and God has sent a message right at the end time. And as it was in the days of the Son of Man, so shall it be, Luke 17:30, at the coming of the Son of Man. We're at the end time. And God has to seal his people. And Elijah the prophet is coming again to Israel. And I believe Moses and Elijah will come. Some people think it's Enoch. That's all right. We'll not worry whether it's Enoch or not. My opinions, Moses and Elijah. Why? Because one of them had power to close the heavens. One of them had power to shut it. One of them had power to call fire down and so forth. We know them things. But Elijah's coming again to Israel, but we won't be here. There's going to be a catching away, a rapture of the true church of God, of the bride of Jesus Christ. And you know, when you're saved, you cannot be lost when you're saved. The book of Ephesians is clear. It says you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The thing that seals you and seals me is the Holy Spirit. And that's why we must preach about the Holy Spirit. It's the seal of God. Now, World War I was 1914 to 1918. And World War II lasted
1939 to 1945. This amazes me because during the time from the First World War to the Second World War, England had Wigglesworth and the Jeffrey brothers. Just around the time of the First World War, they had a mighty move of God. And if you tilt it back just before that, you had the Sousa Street revival. Then in 1946, a man called William Branham was visited by an angel sent from God to take a ministry of healing, a gift of healing to the nations and to the world. And he was told to pray for kings and monarchs. And he said that Wigglesworth went off the field and he was on the field within 24 hours. So God continued his work. His servants went on, but God continued the work on so that the message of healing, not just salvation, but he's a savior and he's a savior healer as well, would continue forward. We thank God for them things. The guns fell silent on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, bringing an end to the World War. Now, the fields there was known as the Flanders Fields. That's where poppy comes from. And the idea to use the poppy is as a symbol of remembrance. And it really came from the poem In the Fields of Flanders by Canadian doctor John McCrae. Now, I'm sure that man seen a lot of terrible things as a doctor in a war zone. Now, while he was stationed in the fields of Ypres, McCrae, and I might have said that name wrong, McCrae and his fellow soldiers were inspired by the bright red poppies that littered the desolated landscape. They said the ground was blown to pieces. There was nothing could grow. And yet out of the bombed ground, the maimed ground, the little red poppy grew out. And it has become a symbol of hope and a symbol of remembrance, that little poppy, that's where it come from. And all amongst the death and decay, the poppy came forward. It came forth, that little flower. Imagine the ground covered in blood, covered in bodies, covered in death, and the poppy come out of it. Now, I want to stress that this morning for what I'll say later. The bloodied ground was where your poppy came from. You know what? Even that man, John McCrae, wrote a wonderful poem. They didn't even want it at the start. He himself didn't think it was good enough. But today it's famous. That poem has become famous. And you can look that little poem up. I'm not going to take the time to hold you to read it all this morning. Following the end of the war, the fields in Flanders were overrun with poppies, concealing the battered and shattered landscape below. Now the poppy, and the poppy itself this morning, and a lot of people's wearing the poppy. And my own brother Matthew said a few things about this. I messaged him last night. He's away at another remembrance service this morning with his father-in-law. But this is what sort of inspired me with this thought. And I just trust the Lord will help me. And I'm not going to have no big long message, just a few little thoughts this morning. We could look at this as Christians, that the black center is all the evil that the devil unleashes during the wars on man to try and steal away the souls from him. But the red pebbles of the poppy represent the blood of Jesus Christ. And that poppy grew out of the ground of blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ met death at the cross. And it conquered death on the cross. And out of Calvary, salvation came. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus Christ. So that blood of Jesus Christ surrounding the darkness and saving the souls from an evil and giving us eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin is represented as darkness. And we know how darkness began, how He has come down to the earth having great wrath and a short time to go. And you know, when you read the book of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel is a key book if you want to understand original sin and the Garden of Eden. Because you read in Ezekiel, thou hast been in the Garden of Eden. Thou hast been amongst the carbuncles of God. And we know he came down into that Garden of Eden and he tempted man and he deceived man and he deceived woman. And he possessed that serpent. And he had a conversation with Eve. We know that. And regardless if you believe all the things, what maybe we would believe about it, there's one thing we'll all agree on. Man disobeyed God. That's one thing what happened. Man disobeyed God. And he changed the word that God had said to Eve to his words. Has God said? And he still does it today. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to doubt the word of God. But ultimately, he wants you to listen to him, to worship him. And an old preacher said, there's no lie as bad. There's no lie as bad as a half-truth. A half-truth's a lie. Because it's not the truth, it's a half-truth. And there's no such thing as a half-truth. It's either a truth or it's not. We see man came. Sin is an inward spiritual attitude of rebellion towards God. And they were told what to do. And they didn't do it, which expressed in outward acts. Sin does. And every one of us are sinners in this day. And by our sinful lives, we rob God of the glory due to God. Man was created to glorify God. The Bible tells us that. Your catechism even learns you that. What's man's chief end? Glorify God. Now, I know that's a catechism, but that's also the Bible. It's true. God made man to glorify him. And the devil wants man to worship him and follow him. Sin is followed by three main consequences: inward spiritual death and annihilation from God. And the black, think of the black in the middle of your poppy, speaks of death and annihilation from God. That's what the devil wants. He doesn't want you to be saved. He wants to steal your soul to hell. He wants to rob you of the life that Jesus Christ has purchased for you on the cross. The physical death of the body, the Bible said, is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. That's why we need the Son of God. Him that hath the Son of God hath life and shall not come into condemnation or judgment. Isn't that wonderful? Then finally, an everlasting banishment from the presence of God to a place of darkness and torment. But Christ came to save us from our sins. Himself without sin, he took our sins upon him, died in our place, rose from the dead, that we might have forgiveness and receive eternal life. Now we know Satan changed the word to Eve. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve, so through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity in Christ. And I believe that every one of us have to watch as preachers especially. Because the devil can deceive preachers. You can look at me whatever way you want, but I'm telling you the truth this morning. What happens is, people can get off on trends. And you find out after a while they're no longer preaching Christ. They're preaching something else, different. And it's even when God sends a messenger and people can get off so far that they preach the messenger and not the message. And that's wrong. And it's the same with anything in the world that's going on. We have to be careful. We don't get wet. Scarecrow tactics. You see, the scarecrow, if you follow all the scarecrows, you'll get off the road onto the bypass meadows. But God wants us to keep with the simplicity that's in Christ. And this is just a simple thought in a poppy, that the black represents death and man's sin, but the red represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation through the blood. You know, it's astonishing when you have men that's preached for a lifetime, then they make a statement and they don't make it on one pulpit. They travel around the world to make a statement. And that statement is that we no longer need the cross. We've moved on. Any preacher that preaches that is absolutely apostate. Don't be afraid to say it. He's false. He's not from God. He's from hell. No preacher would ever say that, the sent of God, because you can't go against what Paul said. Paul said that I would know nothing amongst you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We must preach Christ. And here we're warned again to watch we don't get off the simplicity of preaching Christ. Several years ago, I was praying and seeking the Lord, and I believe the Spirit of God spoke within me and said, preach more about Jesus. You say, was I not preaching enough about Him? Well, I mustn't have been. But whether it was or not, He told me to preach more about Jesus. And we must preach Christ. When Philip went down to the city of Samaria, he preached Christ unto them. Paul the Apostle said, it didn't come unto you in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of Paul, no, of Christ. And we must preach Christ. We're glad this morning we can remember this little poppy, the lives that's been lost, men and women, and then the greatest life, Christ, which wasn't lost, but He paid the price. We know that because man's disobedience, sin entered in. Like the black part of the poppy, sin came in. Sin brought with it death. Sin brought with it sickness. So your death, your sickness, all originated from sin. But here's one thing I want you to get this morning. Sin had somewhere it began. So it'll have somewhere it ends. But eternal life didn't have anywhere it began. And it never has an end. Sin has an origin where it began from. But eternal life didn't begin from anywhere. It always was. Just like God. Who made God? Nobody. Even before He was God, He was a self-existing one. He dwelt alone with His thoughts. A supernatural being with supernatural ability, with supernatural authority. And when He seen the fall and decay of man, He Himself left the glory and splendor of heaven above, took upon Him the form of a man, and came the whole way to the cross. And He shed His blood. I'm going to talk about the blood in a moment. Romans 5:19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's the black part, sin. But Jesus Christ took our place at the cross. He that knew no sin became sin for us. So He took the black part, your black part, my black part. Jesus took your place. Jesus took my place on the cross. Aren't you glad for that? We were dead men walking, but now we're alive in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Romans, look at it says here also in Romans 3:25, whom God have set forth to be a propitiation. Now you often hear Yule praying this word, propitiation. Propitiation through faith in His blood. Propitiation means He appeased God. He satisfied God. You could never satisfy God. I could never satisfy God. If I sent you out on Monday morning and said to me, right, take a chart, mark yourself out of 10 this week, see how many stars you'll get. Some of us maybe could do well, but it still wouldn't be enough to save us for all sin. But Jesus Christ pleased God. He satisfied God. He appeased God. He was our propitiation. He took the retribution, the judgment due you and me. Christ took it on the cross. He took it on the cross. That's why the book of Psalms says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the rocks rent and the earth shook. And He cried out, it's finished. And He yielded up His spirit and He gave up the ghost. He stepped out of His body. And He went down into the underworld. And He ransacked hell that He might fill heaven. Hallelujah. I tell you, I want you to think of it this morning. I want you to think of the words of Job. Job said, I shall see him in the flesh. I know that my Redeemer liveth, though the worms eat this flesh and this body, I shall see him. And you know, the Old Testament saints was held in a place called Abraham's bosom, and they could not get out of Abraham's bosom by a type, by a lamb or a dove or a bullock. That only covered sin. The blood of those animals only covered sin. It never took it away. It covered it. It had no power in it to clear the conscience. But when Jesus died on the cross, he stepped down in there. And there was Job, and Job would have looked, and Job would have said, here he comes. This is the one that I told you about. This is the one that I said I will see him. Hallelujah. I know my Redeemer liveth. And the bars were broke asunder, and Abraham's bosom was empty. Because the Bible says when Jesus rose, the Old Testament saints rose with him. Streets and the cities, and they saw them. I'll guarantee you the fear come on them. I tell you, they rose up. God brought them out of that place, but they could not come out of that place until the blood was shed. The blood had to be shed. The life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. Blood represents life. Leviticus 17 verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The blood of Jesus is higher than the blood of any animal. It is higher than the blood of any other human being, because the blood of Jesus Christ is supernatural blood. It is not ordinary blood. It's superior blood. It's the blood of God himself. It's in the veins of Jesus Christ. It can never congeal. It can never dry up. It speaks for you and it speaks for me. It pleads for you and it pleads for me. The blood of Jesus Christ. There's no blood like the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's blood entered heaven itself. For Hebrews says, as the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so the heavenly. Praise God. Heaven had a better sacrifice than any of the earthly sacrifices. Your conscience can be cleared because of the life of the blood of Christ. There's a spirit with it. There's a spirit with it. The blood is the token that broke. It's the token that broke. And when that token broke, the life for the blood was released on Calvary. And the life for the blood is the Holy Spirit, because Romans says, if the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken, make alive your mortal body. When the blood shed broke on the cross, the life of God was released to God's people. God's life. Not an animal life, but God's life. There's a superior life in us now than what we had before. We were dead in sins. We were dead in trespasses. We were aliens drawn away from the commonwealths of Israel, Ephesians tells us. Strangers having no hope. But Jesus Christ shed his blood. Shed his blood on the cross. And the life of that blood comes back on the true believer. It is a chemistry, and it's even more than a chemistry. And I preach the chemistry, and I believe in the chemistry, but there's something more than just chemistry. It's a life that comes back in you, a life that comes back in me, so that we're born again in the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God. We can never die. This physical body can go to the grave, but there's a life still living within us. The soul is saved for all time and all eternity. But I have news for you. He's coming back. He's coming back. And the graves are going to open, brother and sister. The loved ones are coming out of them graves. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, thrust up into the air to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, brethren, comfort one another with these words. Jesus Christ is coming again. So when you look at your poppy today, and that black bit in the middle, you think of the darkness of sin was placed on Christ at the cross. And when you look at that little red leaf, you think of it, that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin, from all unrighteousness. And it's great to remember the men and women. And you know, I was looking up the date of the psalm and I wrote it somewhere and I've lost it again. But I told the other night of that young man, 8 years of age. 8 years of age. And his father lifted him in his arms. And he never saw him again. 8 years of age. And that young man that he lifted was William Mullen. And I know a lot of people say a lot of things about William Mullen, and I wouldn't agree with all his doctrine, but I'm going to tell you one thing. The souls that God used him to win was many. And my Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise, all that God would give us a portion of what it was. In the winning of the souls, that God would give every preacher a vision to win souls for Christ. What greater vision could a man have? And he never saw his father again. He went to the psalm and he never come home. And William Mullen never saw him again, a boy of 8 years of age. And his mother every night on a cobble floor prayed for the massive family. And every night she came to William Mullen, she prayed, God, someday, make we will a man of God. God heard her prayer. I am telling you this morning, you might have a son and a daughter. Maybe you've given up hope. William Mullen was a tramp, an alcoholic. His lungs bursted in a frosty night. The doctor said they bursted. They don't even know how he lived. He lay out in park benches and he woke one morning and his wee mate was froze and he was dead beside him. But God had a work for him. God had a purpose for him. And I tell you, God has a work and God has a purpose. And just like God has a vision, we must have a vision. Amen. And we must pray for that one that seems hopeless and helpless. We must intercede before God. We must get along with God and call upon the name of the Lord that's mighty to save. Oh, when you think of this wee poppy this morning, there's a lot in it. When you think of the blood of Jesus, the life of the blood, atonement. It says the word atonement, Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for the souls. The devil thought he had you. The devil thought he had me. But Jesus Christ's blood made an atonement for our souls. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. How could a preacher overemphasize it? How could a preacher overpreach the blood? He could never do it. Spurgeon says, if a man doesn't preach the blood of Christ, I've only one thing to tell you about him. Never go to hear him. Not even once. But he's not a preacher at all. Power. Soul-cleansing power, sin-destroying power, healing power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Atonement. So Christ's blood was given on the altar of Calvary to make atonement, to make us clean, the red blood of Jesus. Precious blood. You know, the wee scripture says, the precious blood of Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? The precious blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know, and I'm closing, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without spot and without blemish. Jesus is God's lamb. So when you think of your wee poppy this morning, and you remember the soldier. And when you're remembering the soldier, remember maybe a wee boy at home. Like William Mullen. And then remember a wee mother at home. Left alone to rear a whole family. And think of all that suffering. And all the woe and all the anguish. And never be ashamed to wear a poppy. You should be proud to wear a poppy. And say to all, I remember.
And let us not forget the lives that died. And then when you think of them colors, think of Christ. Christ on the cross. You know, my friend and brother in the ministry, Brother Keith Mulkison, fought in the Vietnam War, the Falkland War. Not the Vietnam, the Falkland War. I'm glad you looked at my brother. Keep me right. So that I... But he fought in the Falkland War. But he seen friends that never come home from that Falkland War. And I tell you, with all loved ones, maybe in our own brother's country, there's been wars as well. Out in Ghana, terrible wars, I'm sure, brother. Lives has been lost. But the greatest battle that was ever fought was on a cross. Life and death met, and life conquered death. And death died of death.
Hallelujah.
And that's why Paul the Apostle says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's swallowed up at Calvary. Amen. Jesus Christ conquered it all. And he loves you this morning. Young person, the Lord loves you. Young woman, the Lord loves you. When the devil says nobody loves you, God loves you. And Christ died for you. And not only did he die, but he rose again according to the scriptures. And he lives this morning. Oh, my wicked, sing that chorus. He lives, he lives. Salvation fill apart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. God bless you this morning. I want us to come and have our communion service. This morning I want to read from 1 Corinthians, and we have time, but I'm not wanting to be long because I want to give time. We're going to do communion, and if somebody wants to get on their feet and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for dying for a sinner like me. Oh, it's great, you know, when the Lord touches you. That old boy told me, he says, nobody loves you, Tommy. You'd be better killing yourself. Do away with yourself. Nobody loves you. Sure, nobody's come to see you. Nobody loves you. Where's all your mates? Nobody loves you. But footsteps come in the room. Footsteps that I heard. A hand that touched me physically. I'll never forget it. As long as I live. And a voice audibly spoke to me in a jail cell. And that voice says, I love you and gave myself for you. 10 nights on a track. The same thing. The same voice. The same presence. I tell you, the devil's power was broke. I've said this before. Wherever Jesus is, hear me this morning. The power of the Lord is present to heal and deliver. Wherever he is. Surely we believe he's here this morning. For two or three are gathered in his name. He's in the midst. And he's in the midst to bless you, brother. He's going to bless you. He's going to prosper you. He's going to save your sons and your daughters. He's going to save the wife, the husband. Pray and believe it. No matter what it looks like, don't give in. Say never. Amen. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he is betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is a New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many asleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come together not unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Father, we bow before you this morning in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for these emblems of remembrance. Bless the bread as we break it and take it. Bless the wine as we take it, remembering your precious blood. Lord, we've tried to show from this little wee poppy something of the cross. Lord, I pray you'll bless your people. Pray for all those that are bereaved this morning. Oh God, grant them grace and grant them mercy. May they know the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Oh Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I'm asking you again for those that are sick this morning. Lay thy mighty hand upon them. Raise them to strength and raise them to health. Oh Lord, we're glad, so glad that you rescued us and you cleansed us in your precious blood. We're glad that our sins are gone. Gone into the sea of God's forgetfulness. No longer to be remembered against us anymore. As far as the east is from the west, so have God cast our sins away, washed us and cleansed us, and called us your own. Bless these emblems, I pray, as the deacons come. And bless and strengthen your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask it. For God's own glory. Amen. Amen. Let's just be in an attitude of prayer.